fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, the program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you had a wonderful and a restful weekend. I want to touch this week on the readings from the church gives us at Mass each day this week from Romans, particularly Romans chapter 8, one of the great chapters, one of the great sections of the Bible. If you've never taken the time to read Romans chapter 8, all of Romans is good. Romans can be challenging. It's a long letter from Paul. It's just loaded with the core message of the gospel, of justification, of coming to new life in Christ, about grace. But chapter 8 is really the crowning chapter, I think, of the whole letter. It's just beautiful. It captures for us, and Paul articulates the wonder, the greatness of what Jesus Christ has done for us, and dying on a cross and giving us his Holy Spirit and making us a new creation. The chapter today, the section the church touches on today is Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17. I'm going to back up, get to the beginning, start with the beginning of it, and maybe just take this first half of the chapter for most of the week. And I want to talk before it's all over this week about forgiveness, which is really a work of the Spirit in us, helping us to love as Jesus loved, because it seems to be one of those areas that's difficult for us to be able to have as a regular habit of life, to be able to forgive those who've harmed us, but also even as radically as Jesus, you know, love those who hate you. There's a way in which the call as disciples that were given by Jesus, we have to see that it's really impossible to live without the work of the Holy Spirit, the presence and the power of the Spirit that Jesus gave to us. So let's begin chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Here's a good place to stop, right at the first verse. This is important for us all to know. Repeat with me. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Those who are baptized into Christ, those who are walking in the Spirit, to be in Jesus Christ does not mean you are perfect. That's why the church gives us the sacrament of reconciliation, right? We're on the way. We've been given by God's grace through the Holy Spirit adoption into Christ. We become sons and daughters of God. And there is within us a new power now and a new capacity to live a new way of life, to move from the old man to the new man, the old woman to the new woman. There's a new power, but we are not yet perfected. The enemy's strategy when we fall is to condemn us. And it's easy to get into a habit of condemning ourselves and expecting perfection now. Sometimes when we condemn ourselves, the saints tell us that it's because of our pride, that we're surprised somehow that we've fallen or that we are still capable of sinning. We shouldn't be surprised. And it is a great opportunity for us just to be humbled and to repent of our sin, to go to confession when needed, and to be able to receive absolution. But for sure, as Christians, we should walk in freedom. Anytime you feel as though, and if you're really walking in the Lord the best you can, you're doing the things as a disciple you can to grow, daily prayer, reading of Scripture, frequent reception of the sacraments, fellowship, mission, service, all of that. If those parts, you know, living your vocation to the best of your ability and trying to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit, if that's where you're at and imperfectly moving forward in those things, there should never be any condemnation. If you hear the voice within you saying, you're no good, you're a failure, you're a loser, you'll never make it, you're bad, all that kind of stuff, that comes from the enemy and you should reject it. It doesn't come from the Lord. The Lord never condemns us. The Lord always calls us to repentance. So there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. Throughout the letter, it talks about the law and the Spirit. He contrasts the two. The law that God gives us is good, his commandments, how we ought to live. But the law which was meant for good ends up judging us, condemning us. The law itself does, because what the law does is reveal your heart and mind. It reveals the truth about what's in us and our orientation to the great commandments to love God and to love neighbor. We don't love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we don't love our neighbor as ourselves. That's what the law exposes in us. Jesus came to give us a new heart. He knows the condition of our heart. He knows we don't fill the law full, that he himself came to do just that. He fulfilled the law giving to the Father what belongs to God. He did justice to God. He loved God. He gave to God what belongs to God, which is absolute surrender, trust, obedience. And in his act of love on the cross, for which he died, he laid down his life in obedience to the Father, a perfect sacrifice and offering to God of love. He cleanses us from the guilt, from the debt, from the sin-sick condition that we stand in before the law which condemns us. Now we're given a new law. That's the Spirit of Jesus Christ. That's why we're no longer standing under condemnation, because we're not under the law. We're under the Spirit. We've been brought from death to life. The old man, he said back in chapter 6, was put to death at baptism. It's not just a symbolic act, but when you were baptized and I was baptized, we literally participated in Jesus' death on the cross. He put us to death. The old man was put to death, and the new man is raised from the dead. So there's a new reality within us. We no longer stand under the condemnation of the law because Jesus already paid that price. Verse 3, for God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. God the Father sent his Son into the world. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not die but have everlasting life. The law itself could not die in human flesh. Death directed human beings to life. But God did that in his Son. He goes on. He said, he condemned sin in the flesh. Where was sin condemned? Where do we see it condemned? On the cross. You see the face of sin and you see sin's destiny. Sin's destiny is ultimate final judgment, condemnation under the hand of God. In Christ Jesus, in his death, what's revealed is the horror of sin, the depth of sin. Sin is ultimately resistance to God and hatred for God. Deep in the human heart is a secret rancor against God, a resistance to God's law and God's command and God's rule, his loving rule over us. That's the sin-sick condition of our heart. What is best for us is to be in God, is to embrace his way for us and to lovingly receive and to abandon ourselves and trust to him. But there's something in us that doesn't trust God. It goes all the way back to the garden. In order that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. How is the law now fulfilled in us, the law which condemned us? Well, we're in Christ Jesus. Jesus is the one who filled the law full. He actually, as I said, gave to the Father what belongs to him. He loved the Lord with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loved his neighbor as himself. He said, no greater love is a man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friend. We're given a share in that Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, who overcame the power of sin and death, who fulfilled God's plan, and we share in that. And so as we share in his Spirit, it's that Spirit that allows us to fill the law full. And we no longer walk according to the flesh, Paul says here, but we walk according to the Spirit. The term walk refers to a way of life. Our way of life now is not dominated by the drives of concupiscence, the drives of the flesh, the ego-centered, covetous power of the flesh at work that no longer dominates us. But there's a new power and a new capacity within us, which is the Spirit. So we now live a way of life, a new way of life that is empowered by the Spirit, guided by it. Verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Paul exhorts us later in Romans. He said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The flesh is not just the body of flesh that we have, my skin, or even just people often immediately think of our sexual drive or sexual sin, disordered sexual activity. Well, that's an expression of it. But the flesh is something deeper than that. It's the whole orientation within us, that fallen dimension within us, that ego-driven, self-centered drive and power within us that has lots of manifestations, and including what Paul's saying here, you have a darkened mind. My mind now is set on things that are going to harm me. They're not set on what God commands. It's going to set on what I desire and what my passions desire. He said, so to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Here's the contrast. The flesh is a death-directed power. Those who live in the flesh live in resistance to God and God's command. It's going to lead ultimately to natural death, but it's going to lead fundamentally to the second death, to spiritual death, to judgment, because we're going to stand as enemies of God. And Paul breaks this open throughout this whole section, but in other places in his letters as well. But the Spirit, those who walk by the Spirit, experience life and peace. What's the life? It's eternal life. It's a foretaste now. We're participating already in the life to come in Jesus. And our life now is no longer death-directed, but it's directed toward life and peace, to live with God forever. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, Paul says here. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Cannot please God, because the flesh is ultimately, again, resisting God. There's a hostility there. Only the power of the cross of Christ can break that hostility, and only by the power of the Spirit can we come alive to God's commands and God's will for us and share in and participate in Jesus' own love for the Father. Verse 8, let me just underline this quickly. Those who live in the flesh cannot please God. It's an important thing for us to see. An important thing to reflect on. I mean, our culture today, as it becomes more secularized and distant from God, and people insist on their own worldview, their own way, their own will, their own command, their own design, their own creation, whatever you want to say, just simply operating out of the flesh. There's a great deal of operating out of the flesh that happens in our culture today, and it's glorified, and it's raised up and considered like the ideal. We need to see very clearly. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. What pleases God? That we become children of God, that we say yes to Him, that we reflect the reality of what He's called us to be by living in His Son, by becoming sons and daughters of God and sharing in Jesus' absolute surrender and love to the Father. Verse 9, but you're not in the flesh, you're in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. How do you know if you belong to Jesus Christ? The person who has repented, who's baptized into Christ and has become a new creation, is walking in the Spirit. That's the one who belongs to Christ. We don't come to Jesus on our own terms. Lots of people want to, you know, consider Jesus, let's say, a great moral teacher, a good leader, somebody you can take this or that from that's helpful for life, somebody that should be acknowledged as one of the great leaders in human history. That's not a follower of Jesus. That's not a son or daughter of God. A son or daughter of God is someone who has repented of their sin, has heard the good news, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and has become a new creation, has said yes to Jesus' diagnosis of our condition, our sin-sick condition, and has received the mercy and the grace, the gift of God, the free offer of eternal life and a participation in Jesus' own life and glory and living in the Holy Spirit. That's someone who belongs to God, to Christ, because you've surrendered to Him and you said yes as Jesus has come to take possession of us. That's the way we belong to Christ, by saying yes to His command and call. We're going to continue this tomorrow, this next section. Hope you can join me. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the Church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.